Hello, this is Comedy Potpourri. I'm Paul.
And I'm Alan.
And today we're going to follow up on some UFO stuff.
Oh, man, and do we have a bunch.
Well, first of all, I'm going to go with this one first.
Okay.
So it's the most areas in the United States they've seen UFOs.
Okay.
So, of course, Roswell.
Yep.
Phoenix, Arizona, because of the triangle. A lot of the triangles have been there.
Correct.
Battle Mountain, Nevada.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Gulf Breeze, Florida.
Gulf Breeze. Yeah.
Mount Shasta.
Oh, yeah.
Sedona.
Yep, that's a big
Arizona.
One.
Arizona. Of course, Area 51.
Who knew?
Marfa, Texas. Marfa, Texas.
Okay. You'll have to refresh my memory on that one a little bit.
Hudson Valley, New York.
Oh, hell yeah.
Great Sand Dunes National Park, Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
That's Crater Lake, one. Oregon.
Where?
Crater Lake, Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the deep. Oh, by the way, that is the deepest crater with water, I think, in the world.
That is correct. It is so pristine blue.
Yeah.
Of all the water runoff and everything is amazing.
Rochelle, Nevada. Okay. Dulce, New Mexico. Duh.
Dulce. Yeah.
Brown Mountain, North Carolina. Brown Mountain.
Woo! Pull my finger. That's the first thing that comes to my mind.
I think Bigfoot lives there. So those are where most sightings. I kind of disagree because Washington actually has a lot of sightings.
It does, actually. And the biggest thing I can think of is not just the Kenneth Arnold situation, Mount Rainier.
Right.
1947. Before Roswell, remember we had talked about that before.
Right.
It was like a couple months before that even took place. But I heard a story today that was talking about a bunch of UFOs that had been spotted, or UAPs, as they like to call them now, flying into Mount Adams.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah.
And literally, that's in our backyard.
So if the reason I think there's more, that there's sightings, is that people forget there's McCord Lewis Base. It's an Army
Air Force base.
It's mixed together. It is one of the biggest. I mean, it's the Northwest. It's covering five states if something happens.
Oh, yeah. It's huge. If you ever travel past it and you're heading up to, like, say, Seattle or Tacoma, you will pass that area. And it's huge.
Yeah.
And I mean, and funny enough, if you are on the Oregon side of the Oregon-California border, which is just on the other side of Mount Shasta, is, man, I'm telling you, too much Mountain Dew, dude.
What?
There's an Air Force base that's...
Okay, right, yeah, I know what you're, yeah. Okay.
Basing on it.
Well,
right now,
the other thing, if you got to think about Washington, is that there's so many Navy bases.
Yes.
Up in the Seattle area and sound. Plus, the nuclear sub base.
Oh, yeah. In Bremerton.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, too, the sound of Seattle and Lake Washington and that general area is deep.
Yeah.
Severely deep. I mean, I think in some cases it might range right with what you would see in the fjords of, like, Norway and Sweden. Kind of area, right?
Yeah.
It's that deep.
Yeah. In Oregon, we have McMinnville.
Klamath Falls. That's what I was thinking.
Klamath Falls. Okay.
K Falls Air Force Base.
Okay. So, you know, there's, they actually have every year they have a UFO parade and party. So,
which I've been to, which is really fun. They do have a lot of guests, but I don't want to pay that exorbitant amount of money to go to McMenamin's and listen to these guys talk.
I've stayed there.
Have you really?
At McMenamin's, yes. It's a nice place. It's a little different. It's like the regular, if people don't know what McMenamin's are, we have to explain this. It's a brewery. It's huge. In fact, I think they go national now. Hepavisen and stuff like that. And they end up buying a lot of these old hotels and places, even schools, and they turn them into like a hotel.
Major serious renovations go on in these places.
Right. And so what they do is like a lot of these rooms, unfortunately, a lot of these rooms don't have bathrooms and you got to go down the hall, whatever. And then they have some that cost more that you get the bathrooms and stuff, but they have bars in every single one of them.
And all the bars have different themes to them a lot of time, depending on which one you go to. The one I used to go to all the time when I was living in Eugene, because that's where I'm from originally, they had a little one called the High Street Cafe.
Yeah.
And you had your front porch area, which has only like maybe one, now two tables, since they took down this huge oak tree, which is a travesty. Then they have the internal area where they had all these great booths. You have the tiny little bar that's probably not bigger than this setup that you have right now, Paul. And they also have a back patio, which is actually pretty cool. They had some of the best stout beers I've ever tried early on, but that formula has changed over the years, unfortunately. But
Yeah. And they have concerts at all these.
Oh, yeah.
So they have like, they bring in some stuff. The one in Troutdale,
yes,
is the biggest, and they bring some big people in there. They have the Averett Brothers. They've had, they probably have, but they have some major ones like Bonnie Raitt. And,
oh, yeah.
And, but they have rockers too. I mean, they have rock bands.
Yeah. So not to pinhole the McMenamin's too much, but it is kind of a generalized local phenomena, I guess. These guys go in, renovate some new areas that they bought. They've been spreading up and down the I-5 corridor.
Right.
They've gotten in as far as Seattle is concerned, so they have a spot up there. But they do some great stuff, and they keep it as friendly as possible. And the food's generally the same across the board, so
right.
It's pretty
right.
good. So if you're going from one place to another and you like McMenamin's food, you're probably going to get a really good rendition of it someplace else.
And the beers are, I mean, they have, oh my God, they have anything from IPA to a stout to stuff you have to chew.
So McMenamin's, if you're listening to us right now, that's a plug. Give us some money.
Or we'd love to be you can be one of our sponsors. We'd love it.
Yeah. Thank you. And now on with the show. No. No. Okay. So what else have you got on your
well,
list
one here? Of the things I have.
And Paul came up with a couple of different places of where UFOs are most sighted
right.
at, from what I understand.
So one of the things I want people to know that both Alan and myself both watch us is Ross Colt. Coldheart.
Yes.
And he's on News Nation on YouTube, and he's really good. He's incisive. I mean, he really gets into things and talks about it. I mean, he interviews a lot of people.
If you're in ufology or if you follow anything with UFOs, I think he would be the most concurrent reviewer and interviewer that George Knapp was back in the 2000s.
Yeah,
era, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd say he's better than George Knapp.
I think George Knapp is become, he's a staple.
Right.
He's still researching it. And right now he's got his protege right now, Jeremy Corbell.
Right.
Who's actually, he's really good
like
at
him.
What he does.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot of fire to him.
Yeah.
But George Knapp has been doing this since the 1980s, and especially with the revealing of Bob Lazar from Area 51, with all that stuff that came out. If you follow anything about Knapp, you understand that he was brand new to the whole news idea, He had moved himself to Las Vegas. He got himself associated with a TV station, started doing interviews, and then things started to open
up. There's actually on Netflix, there's something about that, and it's something about UFOs and stuff, and it goes through his history, which is really interesting.
I think of all the people that I have seen, George Knapp has still maintained his stature as an interviewer, a reviewer, a news journalist.
Right, right.
Unlike some other people that have kind of
glorified it.
I'm holding back a little bit. I think that some people have begun to believe their own BS.
Yeah.
Smell their own farts, if you will. And there's one person in particular, but I don't want to be inflammatory at this particular moment because I don't want Paul to get in trouble.
So, me, you're getting the one in trouble.
Oh, no.
So, one of the things...
It's only my opinion.
One of the things I got to bring up that's been bothering me
yes.
about UFOs is that, and I was doing my little thing. Okay, light year is not time. It's how fast light travels.
Correct.
Right? But there is an equation that has time in it.
Yes.
Because you have to, quantitative, right? So if you were to travel 300 light years, and let's say 150 light years away and okay. came back 150 light years, Earth would have been 684 years later in the future.
That would be correct, because time for you would have stopped. The closer and the faster that you travel to the speed of light, or to that point of speed of light, time slows down for you to the point
right.
where you're not aging anymore. You're still being able to, theoretically, remember what's going on. You haven't stopped in time. But you're going so fast that time has literally stopped. You've stopped aging at this point.
So the theory is, and this is with the UFOs, is that they go so fast that because of time that basically it's like a wormhole almost. So when you see them like disappear or whatever, they could be someplace else so far away you wouldn't notice it. And it's a time thing. They're saying it's for us. It's a time thing.
Time dilation, I think, is the term that I've heard a lot, where you're shrinking the space in front of you, but enlarging it behind you, therefore pushing you faster
forward
and forward in the speed. So you're literally traveling faster in the speed of light, but the amount of energy that is required to be able to do it by our today's physics would be enormous. I even remember watching a Nova episode or even an episode of Cosmos when Sagan was still
around,
that it would take such a huge amount of energy to open up a wormhole, to keep it stable, just for a person to travel through, would evaporate the energy output of a star.
Wow.
And when we're talking like the size of a star, like the sun.
Right.
Okay. That would be blanked out just to open up a doorway, just to keep it open just barely long enough to jump from one point to another. But then this also leads into extra dimensional stuff, but I'm not ready to jump into just yet. I'm just not ready for it.
Well, that's just one of the things they're talking about is like we talked about the orbs that they're seeing at the Air Force stations. And they have a blue plasma on them. And what they're thinking is that they phase in and out, you know,
oh, yeah.
a time or a dimensional thing.
And I think a lot of the dimensionality actually is becoming more prevalent and becoming a little more, I'm going to put in air quotations, acceptable.
Acceptable would be
I think that's becoming more acceptable because these things are phasing in and out of dimensions. Therefore, they can't get a clear radar lock, nor can you get a great visual lock because they're shifting back and forth between dimensions. So if you're going to fire a missile or something
you can't
do it.
Yeah.
And because of this interdimensionality that's taking place, That's the reason why they can shift from one place and do these crazy aerobatics and show up in another place literally in a blink of an eye.
So this explains the first...
What?
This with Charlton Heston.
Oh, my God.
Planet of the Apes. When they come back, it's totally...
I used to be so into Planet of the Apes. There's a theory that there's a curve to space and time.
Right, right. Yeah.
And Held's line equation or theory where there's a curvature in the space-time. But there has to be a reason that you have a curvature. Most of that kind of stuff is usually caused because of a black hole. If Rod Serling had some more information about black holes, he could have made some crazy time travel stories back during the time of the Twilight Zone.
Oh, yeah. That would have been...
Because a black hole is such a huge gravitational mass that it will literally bend light to be pulled into its own area of mass and continue to keep building on itself. I think if you were to use something like that, that would have been kind of interesting. Yeah. But anyway.
So the plasma go in and out, which I'm going to bring up one of our other favorite subjects to say that that's how they're going in and out. They're saying that Bigfoots, Sasquatches, actually phasing in and out. They're like from a different dimension.
I've heard some crazy stories about this, the Squatch. I heard some crazy stories about that. So Squatch is like being able to like, they come from an area that is similar to like, say, anything in the Northwest or
right.
elsewhere.
Right.
I don't know why you would want to show up in the swamp, but okay. It's smelly anyway. Ew. Gross. Yucca man. And so, skunk ape.
Swamp ass.
Swampy. But the reason why they come here is because they from what I've heard, somebody who's like almost like a remote viewer.
Yeah.
Has been in contact with them psychically or something like that. And it's, oh, man, really? Okay. Just go with me, guys. Just go with me on this one. So these people are remote viewing and dealing with the Squatch. They have a different name for them. They don't like the name Bigfoot or whatever.
Yeah.
But they come here for food. They like the smell of the air out in the Northwest or whatever.
Well, who doesn't? I mean, you know,
man, that's clean.
That's why you buy those little trees. For your car.
Take a little piece of the Northwest with you. Oh, I should give some of those to somebody I know named Sally Squatch. Anyway, sorry. Side note. But anyway, so the Squatches have been reported that they've been kind of dealing with these ideas of portals and stuff like that. That's the reason why you have never found, to this day, any remnant of a skeleton.
Right.
Now, Paul and I have already gone out and talked since we're on Squatch. You may recall that we talked about reason why you haven't been able to find any remains. And that's still a viable option.
Yeah.
Is that you have tons and tons of scavengers that will decimate a body quickly. That's the reason why you don't find a lot of deer skeletons or elk or any other kind of critter or their skeletal remains out in the woods, because they are literally being picked apart by scavengers.
Right. Oh, the bears, you won't find, I mean, people don't find bear remnants. I mean, there's no bear rug, you know, like you find the skin and stuff. No, it's gone. I mean, it's totally gone. But, okay, let's get back.
Let's get back.
So Bigfoot's going to be another subject.
I told you this could be a rabbit hole, man. Telling you.
So I do have to tell you, this is, I was watching House of Representatives talking.
Oh, okay.
About the
second senatorial hearing.
Yeah. And so what they're talking about is they want to know about the UFOs and stuff, but what they're upset about is that these agencies are not being reporting to Congress and they're getting money
a ton of money.
We're talking
literally.
We're talking millions or billions.
Billions of dollars.
Billion dollars. Billions upon billions. So
I wish we had Sagan around.
As soon as I heard that Independence Day movie came in, and then when Jeff Goldblum's dad comes in and says, "How do you think they pay for this? $1,000 for a bolt?" But true.
It is true. A lot of the black budget has a zero overhead. There's no cap to it.
Right.
So why not continue to spend billions and billions of dollars on black projects to reverse engineer or whatever?
Right. So again, that's what the House of Representatives and the other ones, they really want to know which agencies and stuff. This is the great part. So they have to go into a SCIF, which is, I don't know if people know what a SCIF is. They have to go in and it's soundproof. You don't bring any phones in, nothing. Nobody can hear what's going in, nothing. And then they talk about it, right? It's basically the box of silence.
If you watch the movie Patriot Games with Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
So there's an idea of what a SCIF is. So Harrison Ford's character, Jack Ryan, his version of Jack Ryan, goes into this room along with the president and a bunch of his heads of staff. Right. And then suddenly the walls turn opaque white.
Right.
And
it's electronically,
everything that is outside of that cannot hear anything, cannot discern anything, can't see, can't hear, can't do nothing. Within that SCIF, it's protected. So you can say whatever you need to without fear of repercussions.
Any electronics that are in there go blank.
Exactly. It's almost like what's called a Faraday cage.
Yeah, a Faraday cage. So this is what happened. So when the congressman asked, say, Lou.
Okay, Lou Elizondo.
Right? And David Grush. So they go, well, I'll talk to you in a SCIF. We have to, because I can't talk to you. We have to talk closed corners. For some reason, the SCIFs are always busy and they can't get in. And this is what the congressman said. They're always busy when we want to get into them and talk about this, and we can't get in to talk.
So you're saying that there's typically a daily SCIF going on?
I don't think it's daily, but I think
it sounds like it to me.
It sounds like you have to schedule to get in and stuff and get it. And for some reason, the schedule's full.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
I don't want these congressmen to hear about how we're spending their money.
Oh, some of this money's going to private industries.
Oh, big time private industry. There's already a list out there that they've talked about. That's one of the things that Grush didn't want to talk about.
Right.
Is like, I could name those individuals, but I can't.
Oh, one of them came up. I was listening to that. And speaking of Bigelow came up.
Bigelow Aerospace.
And that they were the ones that wanted to get rid of a certain sub item and give it to another company to let them do what they have to do. And the CIA came in and said, no, you cannot do that. You have to keep it. We're not going to be changing things back and forth.
Aw, come on. Come on, CIA. Come on. All right, whatever.
Well, I'm sure that they're all part of it.
I know.
And then the Air Force, we think that this is the Army and Navy, whatever. No, it's basically the ones that are really into this and trying to keep things shut down is the Air Force. And one is Project Blue Book and stuff like that. Now, one of the speakers said, there's so much on NASA has that... Let us go through your archives. Let us go through all that stuff and see what's going on. And if there's something, we can look at it. And it hasn't happened.
So that would mean that the group called Arrow.
Oh.
Arrow would have to have access to NASA's files. And do you think NASA, most governmental agencies don't like other agencies snooping around in their own shit.
No.
And it's like, I totally get it.
Yeah.
But if you want to be above board, you need to have that transparency between agencies to happen. And the NSA doesn't want the CIA to know what they're up to. The FBI doesn't want all the stuff they have right. going on to be known by the CIA or NSA.
So all this is going on, which is all these little small independent, they're not independent, they're actually run by the government, paid by the government. They get money from the government. They're supposed to have overseers over them from the Congress, which means that they're breaking the First Amendment.
Yep.
So what they said is like a lot of these people would end up being, I don't think they'd be arrested. I'm sure that there's going to be other things going on. That's the worry about. There's no oversight. There's no stuff coming through. One of the things also was that certain agencies or like Arrow were not doing what they're supposed to do.
Now that they have a new head of their department.
Right.
A lot of questions are starting to be asked immediately, which Dr. Kirkpatrick did not want to answer or feigned ignorance of or something along those lines. I think when Kirkpatrick was in charge of Arrow, he was given a mandate that he had to deny pretty much anything that was coming up by higher-ups in the Pentagon or whatever. But the moment he quit, he kind of backpedaled a little bit in a couple statements that he made officially, and it made me think, so you're given a mandate to toe the party line, quote-unquote, about we have no idea what these are. You can't say that. You can't say that. You can't say they're extraterrestrial, and you can't really say that they're foreign. Adversarial
right.
stuff. Yeah. You might be able to say that they're unknown. The most you can say is they're unknown.
Well, Elizondo, and they asked him, are they from this Earth? And he basically said no.
Yeah.
There's a couple other ones said, are they from this Earth? And they said no. Are they friendly? That was the question that was pretty, that they wanted answers, because they're going over all our, military bases, and they said a couple are friendly, but most of them are not.
There seemed to be a lot of probing of capabilities of what we are able to do and what
of
we're
course.
Not being able to do.
Are you talking about the aliens probing? Or
there's always alien probes. Pull my finger and find out.
Or are they boop, plugs? Boop. Alien plugs?
I came across something, but I don't want to get into it right
okay.
now.
Okay. So this is what the whole thing is. And so this is why we're having those meetings is, again, they want the information to come out, but get the agency that's responsible to come out, and they're not doing it.
No. Because it shows culpability. And by doing that, then it opens up to a number of crazy situations. One of the biggest ones I heard earlier today is like, if you open up this thing about UAP, you may end up inadvertently opening up the idea of like, oh, so what happened to Kennedy during the assassination? And actually pointing fingers at somebody who actually was part of it, who may actually still be around or not.
Right. Yeah.
I thought 2007, they were supposed to open up those records, and I don't recall a damn thing being brought
up. Talk about presidents, so Clinton and Barack Obama, Carter.
Carter and Reagan.
And Reagan all wanted to get and see what's going on.
Yep.
I just heard that in 1954... Eisenhower signed a proclamation that basically all the information is not to be given out, which is against the First Amendment, because when you're president, you're supposed to be able. So no more presidents can get any information about UFOs or anything else.
Yep. The other thing I heard about with Carter specifically, is that he had asked for it, and at that time, the then director of the CIA...
Yes, I know who it was.
Say it with me.
George Bush Senior.
Basically said, nope, it's a need to know.
Yeah.
And you don't need to know.
Which means that George knew. Or maybe not. Now, he was told, no, we're not going to get... He doesn't get to see
it. My guess is, as a CIA director, you've been given a mandate by people who hold the purse strings to you, saying, hey, George, he can't know about it, but this is all you need to say.
Right.
And then when it came his time in the presidency, because let's face it, Reagan was already kind of, yeah, I'm listening to Nancy and the astrologist from San Francisco.
What? Well, Nancy.
Bonzo's telling me that I can't say anything. Sorry, I'm channeling a more Nixon there. But I think there's something to be said about that. And then you have Bush. Then you have Clinton.
Right.
Who's asking about it. Nope, you don't need to know. Then you've got W coming in, right? Does it really think like he's gonna know? No, man. I was on a bender.
Read my lips. There's no aliens.
Fool me once. You already got fooled, George. That's not a light. You are high on cocaine, baby. Just imagine how many prisons have done so much questionable BS, and they still come out on top as a president.
Yeah.
Amazing. Right.
Well, we won't go to the politics area.
Yeah, I'm going to try to avoid that one. But let's talk about...
I want to talk about what we talked about earlier, that you had the idea. So there's these orbs that have been over New Jersey, and there's three bases, actually. And they've seen them over. Is there 17 of them?
Yeah. Okay. So over both the United States and the UK have been buzzed by a bunch of unknown groups of drones in some cases. Now, they've determined that these are drones, not UFOs or UAP, but they are unidentified. But they are drones because of the noise that they're making and the formations that they're making. But the thing is that these drones are configuring themselves over questionable areas of intelligence, specifically over nuclear facilities that are over
strategic air bases,
strategic spots in the RAF over in the UK and the United States, and specifically over in Jersey, I think is the area that I've been hearing about. Now, I suspect, and I'll say this is my opinion.
Okay, well, I'll bring this up.
Okay.
They have not shot any of them down.
They have not. Though I had heard that there was a downed aircraft. They didn't say if it was a drone or otherwise that had been downed into a field nearby Jersey, but it's within the same general time frame that this is all going on. I speculate that this whole drone thing is a bait and switch. Mainly because if you listen to anything else that was popping up on either TikTok or even YouTube or anything like that, that there was supposed to be a big battle on December 3rd.
Invasion.
Invasion of sorts that was taking place in the skies. Now, I looked at a bunch of footage from people talking about it, but I didn't see anything that was being brought up. But suddenly, there's this sudden drone thing taking place over the UK, taking place over the United States. But if you go a couple days just after that so-called prediction was coming through, there was a lot of viewing taking place in Arizona specifically. And these aren't drones. If you take a look at the video, And my God, this is one thing I just cannot stand about YouTubers or people on TikTok. If you're going to view a unidentified thing, don't put the X-Files theme to it. You automatically go into the crazy category as far as I'm concerned, because it's like you've already discounted what you've seen, and you don't give it enough credibility by letting it stand on its own. You have to bolster it with some sort of sound effect, whether it be an actual sound effect, which I think sound effects are great, by the way. We're trying to get some of that stuff for the show. That's the one I'm looking for the horn, like you hear from the NBA. But those kind of sound effects or themes do not do you anything. It's a disservice to the video. It does a disservice to your reporting on something live. Record it as it is and show it in its entirety. All you get is these like tiny little snippets of stuff.
Right,
it's
right.
So much bullshit. Sorry, it makes me crazy. Show it in its entirety, because we need to know the timestamp, where it's at, and if you show it in its entirety, then something that Aero or any other governmental agency that's legitimately supposedly reviewing this stuff can actually look at it without all this bias being put into it.
Well, use the journalist thing. There's five things to report something.
Okay.
Okay. Who, what, where, how, and when.
Mm-hmm.
If you have all five of those, that's all you need. You could write a full report on that. That's what journalism used to use. Now it's more my opinion is in there, and other people's opinion and stuff like that. So, but I want to get to the point where you think why they don't shoot them down.
Oh, okay.
Your conspiracy theory.
All right. Well, first, let me backpedal here just a little bit. So, in the case of the stuff that's taking place over in Arizona, is a place called Bullhead City, Arizona.
Okay.
There is a guy and his wife and their kid who happened to spot just a wild looking UAP, literally hanging up over the mountain ridge of that particular area. And it was one of the craziest things. The guy was almost, for lack of a better term, the guy was almost having a religious experience. He was starting crying and stuff at the end of it. And his wife said, "Stop shaking the car. I'm trying to get a good picture of this." Lends credibility. There's no music added to this or anything like that.
Right.
And I thought it was done really well. Now, where Paul was going with this is that the bait and switch scenario seems to lead into something that seems to be a little more nefarious, I think is a good word for this, right? A lot of people, the reason why they don't want to shoot down these drones either over the UK or over the US would prove that maybe these drones are from a foreign adversary, mainly probably China. There's been speculation that Russia just does not have the resources for this kind of thing, especially with the war that's been going on right now between them and the Ukraine.
Well, now Syria too. Russian troops are in Syria. I don't know if you knew that.
Well, what about the North Koreans that they were bringing over to fight?
Yeah. They're in like several different things. So what I understand, that's why the Syrian rebels have taken over most of it, because Russia has backed out. They've actually moved their troops out.
Well, they're on the defensive, I think, until Putin decides to, until Putin starts to start pressing the button.
So if they're adversarial and we shoot at them,
it's a declaration of war because it's over your airspace. Therefore, everything that would have been normally at DEFCON 1 goes to DEFCON 3.
Right.
And suddenly Now we're on the brink of nuclear war, which is something I don't want to even get into. That's the reason why the United States nor the UK has done anything to provoke and or shoot down one of these drones that seems to be infiltrating both of our airspaces.
I think they have, but they're not going to report it.
If they do, they don't want to report it out outright because
right.
that would be the declaration that they're looking
for. Yeah, they
want
to know who it is or what it is, and I'm sure they did it, but they're not going to report it.
Right, so what? The Chinese are going to be digging into the Himalayas. Fine, I'd go dig myself in a hole. Well, great. I'll outlive the rest of your fallout. Thanks a lot, guys.
Fallout. Well, we walking around with no noses.
No noses, yeah, like the ghoul. I've not seen that show yet, though.
You haven't?
No, dude, I want to so badly.
So
sorry, we're going to dive into popular stuff right now.
So that's a theory because also, you know, like you said, it's hiding the stuff that's happened in Arizona and other places right now. There's some other things happening.
Now, during the research that I came across, not only of this subterfuge that's going on about, I think that it's kind of like the bait and switch situation. Okay, so I'm going to use this as an example. And this is from, again, personal opinion. Okay. So the Doctor Strange movie from Disney Marvel was supposed to come out, right?
Right.
The Multitude of Madness.
Right.
You know, a multiverse of madness, right? Doctor Strange movie. Yet, what was the movie about? Wasn't even about Doctor Strange.
It was about Scarlet Witch.
It was all about her. Not even a Doctor Strange movie. The only thing that was even vaguely Doctor Strange was the zombie Strange with the multiple arms and stuff like that.
And the three eyes.
That was pure Sam Raimi right there.
Yeah.
Okay. But everything about this movie was dumb. It was all about the Scarlet Witch. It wasn't even anything to do with Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
That's the bait and switch. And I was really disappointed with that movie. Now, we shift this into reality, quote unquote. Right? So this Multitude of Madness is basically dealing like, I have a bunch of drones I'm going to use to take away from the real UAP situation that's going
right.
on. If there was a war or a warfare thing going on, you don't want the general populace to know about it. So what do? You use something else that's more plausible and more tangible,
right.
like a drone versus a UAP, and you place them over a couple different strategic areas
so
that are going to be questionable.
What was that town you talked about that was at?
What the one that the guy was having that almost religious experience is a Bullhead City.
Bullhead City. Wow.
I think that's the name of the place.
So the other thing they're talking about is that they're talking about how they communicate and remote viewing is around.
Oh yeah.
Which is funny because they were talking about the goat movie.
Oh yeah.
But
the men who stare at goats.
Men who stare at goats. But what they're saying is that that's what's happening. And again, we talked about where people get little things put in by aliens and they can end up talking and they monitor them and stuff. So yeah. It's a very interesting how they do that. So it's Mojave County. Oh, Mojave Desert.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Not very big.
It's a hot spot.
It is a hot spot. I bet you 10 to 1. I could tell you what species it is.
Yeah. So there is also an interesting thing that is taking place also over in the UK at the Manchester Airport. You've heard about this, haven't you? About the sphere that was spotted and shown, and then a video of actually this sphere hanging up in the air, and then some stills of a guy taxiing his airplane onto the tarmac, and here's the sphere. Literally, it's hovering above the ground. It's about the size of a Mini Cooper, I think, is what some people said.
Yeah.
And it's a bluish-looking color, and there are some artist renditions which make it look a little Borgified.
It's saying that's a plasma that's around it.
Yeah. I don't need speculation on what you think it is. I just need to see a picture of what it is.
Yeah.
Again, without the music, without the overlay of some weird stuff going on, I just need to see the video in its entirety. I saw some videos of some guys, a couple that was sitting outside of their house, and they have, looks like there's a couple lighted dots that kind of come together like you kind of would think of a UFO. And then suddenly you see these two dots, two lights, shoot off to the right in the screen. And to me, immediately as soon as I saw it, I said, fake! I'm going to use a channel a little bit from DS9. It's a fake!
So I got to bring this up. So this is one of the things they were talking about in some of these meetings, is that a pilot can only do 9 Gs in a very short time.
Correct.
If they do a long time, they go a red, and then they can actually die.
Yes.
Right?
Correct.
So they figured with these ones they have, the Army and the Navy and Air Force have recorded about how they turn. We're talking what they have, not like, you know, the ones, fake ones we see. This is real. They said that they would have to have 1,000 to 2,000 Gs, which is like...
That would turn you to jelly.
Yeah. Are these mostly, are they manned or not manned?
Well, here's another question. Are they partially organic or some sort of AI-driven machine?
Right, right.
And that, and the biological part of it has been really interesting, too, because it's like you're getting to some really esoteric kind of weird stuff right there, because it's like if you're saying that these sightings are showing not just a probe per se, but a being of some kind,
right,
that's being able to shift in and out of dimensions, then there's something else entirely that we have not even heard of yet. I think this is one of the reasons why a lot of this stuff is being kept back from the general public, because that kind of revelation saying, yes, you know that there's a multitude of different dimensions. If you take a look at string theory or anything like that, there's multiple of about maybe 11 different dimensions currently that they're aware of.
Yes.
How they figured that out, I'd have to go back through the science of it again. But there are several different variations of every time frame, and every single person has a divergent time frame. Therefore, there's infinite potentialities there, right? If you have a being that's being able to shift and out back and forth between different dimensions, there's no way you're going to be able to lock onto it. And you're not going to be able to get any clear, definitive answers of what these things are until they actually come and rest on the lawn at the White House or at the UN specifically, because that's where they should be going, not to the Washington, D.C. like they did in the 50s.
Kind of like a movie.
Klaatu Barada Nikto.
So one of the things I did read and was very interesting is that they had this person who's like a remote viewer, right?
Okay.
Could go into the fourth dimension. The fourth dimension is...
Is time.
Time.
So you have... Okay, let's break it down.
Well, what happened is, again, explain what happened. So he's sitting there. He knows about it at three, but he concentrated. It was a young man, and he could concentrate and think about being this chair, but I want to go over to the chair across the room, right?
Okay.
And when they were monitoring him, they did not see him go to the other chair, and he was in the other chair.
He just showed up.
Yeah.
Okay. So there is a theory, I'm just going to put it out as a theory, that human beings have a much greater potential for psychic phenomena.
Well, we only use, what percent of our brain?
10.
10. Only, yeah.
It's only 10% of what we could use for our full brain capacity. And as you get older, I've been coming across a lot of reading about the pineal gland. And the older you get, the more calcified it becomes of some kind. Which sounds like, oh, you got a really bad case of plaque.
What?
You got some plaque in your brain, dude.
I can't hear you.
That's not wax, so you need to clean out your ears, pal. No, but there's a lot of potentiality that people are, you know, it goes back to like the lizard people saying, you know, like, we're just going to use your souls for food, and right. Fear is the thing we want.
Yeah.
Because we get high off that shit, which is just ridiculous. Sorry, lizard people showed up again.
Well, that's what I think is all, because most of the towns that I said, were in, you know, hot places.
Why don't you read those off again? Because I think that's...
Okay.
So hot spots around the United States specifically.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So Roswell, definitely hot. Right?
Right.
Phoenix.
Phoenix for sure.
Battle Mountain, Nevada.
Okay.
Okay. Gulf Breeze is warm, but it's water. So it's a USO.
How close to the Bermuda Triangle is Gulf Breeze?
That's a good question. Now, Mount Shasta.
Oh, yeah.
That's could be going in.
Lots of Squatch stuff around there, man.
Sedona, Arizona.
That's always been a big one.
Area 51.
Yep.
Maffa, Texas. Yeah. Hudson Valley, New York.
I've heard tons of stuff around Hudson Valley.
Great Sand Dunes National Park, Colorado.
Never been there, but it'd be cool. I've seen pictures of it.
Crater Lake would be a water one.
But that's also, let's keep in mind, too, that UFOs are also sighted around a lot of volcanoes, which Crater Lake was at one time.
Rochelle, Nevada.
Okay.
Dulce, New Mexico.
Yeah, underground base.
And Brown Mountain, North Carolina.
Okay. Underground base.
Out of all those, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 places that are in hot areas.
Did you say the number 9?
Number 9.
this goes back to Tesla now.
So I'm thinking.
Yes.
And I'm just going to bring this up. I think they're Dracos in those areas because it's warm.
Could be because, volcanoes are kind of hot. Yeah, they're kind of hot.
You mean magma?
Hot boiling magma. I want $1 million for that, Mr. Powers. That would be hilarious if Dr. Evil's got a plan with the lizard people or something like that from underground.
Oh, I just came up with an idea. You know, if I was doing those drones
right
over the Air Force base,
yeah,
and right before you leave, I'd form a finger and flip them off and leave.
All right, so who's pulling the bait and switch on this one? I really do think that there's something, there is, again, in my opinion, I think there's a bait and switch thing going on here. I don't understand the drone things and why they don't just intercept or at least not shoot one down, just capture it, put it in a freaking net. If you have I've seen jet fighters, F-15s, that have been scrambled from the RAF go after these things. But the thing is, because they're so low to the ground and duck under
right.
radar that they can't spot them anymore. Well, why don't you get yourself a fairly fast flying helicopter, like a Cobra or an Apache or something like that, right? and just snag one of those things out of the air. You don't have to destroy it. You just need to be able to limit its ability to fly. Now, whether or not these things are set up with like a self-destruct thing in 3 seconds, so is Mr. Phelps. I don't know if that's going to happen or
not.
Well,
they can, you know, EMP gun that they could use. I'm sure it would knock them down. Or just net them. Just shoot it. Have a thing where it shoots a net.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be that hard to do. Bam.
Yeah. That's all you got to do. Yeah.
You outfit a net with a couple rockets on it. You ensnare their ability. They'll be able to. The thing would crash, right?
Right.
I think that's what they're trying to avoid, is a crash. So they can identify it specifically.
Right, right.
But forensics teams, being what they are, I believe could probably be able to just ascertain model, make, and origin point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think they'd be able to do that.
So one of the things also I wanted to talk about on this was that these agencies and companies are actually what they call reverse engineering a lot of stuff. What they did say that China is ahead.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, Russia, no, because they don't have, they're hurting right now. I don't know about the UK. They said India could be part of that. So,
could be.
So, yeah.
Keep in mind, too, that at some point, India was under the finger of the UK for a long time.
Right.
Okay. There might be something there for that. But I think in a lot of cases, with the stuff with China, with the spy balloon, everybody's on high alert to point fingers at China. But again, like on YouTube, for example, you couldn't see the point of origin of where the virus comes from, even though it had been pinpointed from a province.
You know, those
in
balloons,
an eastern country.
Those balloons could have been from North Korea, and it was just their trash they were getting rid of.
Sure.
Well, that's what they did to South Korea. They actually put trash in it, flew them over so they would like explode or drop, and their garbage would drop into South Korea.
Boo. Shame on you, North Korea. I don't need to know about your dirty laundry. Yuck.
So we're getting towards that point right now. We're getting off, a lot of off topic. So the UFOs, we think, my opinion, I believe in them. I believe that there's different types. Listening to Elizondo and some other people that, you know, they're saying there's a lot of different aliens here.
I have a tendency, I'll say this. So I have a tendency to believe, yeah, there's something to that. I haven't been able to ascertain individual or anything like that, but I think there's definitely a presence.
Yeah.
That's the best I can offer at the moment until my third eye decides to fully open up or whatever.
Yeah.
But I believe there's a presence. I believe there is something going on for sure. I do believe that there's a lot of bait and switch stuff going on personally. That's just my take on some stuff. But I think we're getting closer to some sort of...
Relevations?
What's that?
Relevations.
Yes. What Paul said. I can't say it right now.
So, yeah. I think...
Revelations, yeah.
I think in the next couple years, I think they're going to be forced to. So, at the very end, I just want to tell you this, okay? This is to everybody who's listening. Even if you're in a different country... It goes for you guys too. Wherever you're at, if you have a representative or in the parliament or whatever your government has, and you really want to know or try and believe in UFOs and think that they should release stuff, write to them. The more that they're they're forced to do stuff, and people are too, they will do something.
Because they're having to protect their own political clout. They need, if you are their constituents and you're asking them, hey, I need to have some better understanding where this money is going from that you guys are spending on from my taxes and everything. It's up to you, representative or congressman or congresswoman, to find out where my money is going. I'd like to know where my dollars are being spent at.
That is a constitutional in the First Amendment that they're supposed to oversee the money that goes to places.
And I think that's the reason why the hearings are such a big deal. Now, does it move the needle in the idea of the UAP thing? Well, the second one was kind of interesting. There was some more information that was being brought up, but it was scattered through hours of stuff. If I hadn't been sick that day, I wouldn't have even heard the damn thing.
Was it like a 10-hour thing they had? Mm-hmm. Yeah, 10 hours.
And now they have these behind-the-door skiffs that are taking place because of these drone things, which should not be confused with a UAP. Right. Yes, is it unidentified? Yes, but it's a drone, so it should be a UAD,
and
not a UAP.
What I understand about drones, they are big. So let's say they could probably be a ship that's 50 miles out.
Correct.
Or 50 mile, figure out what the radius is they think they might be, and then they need to work from there. Because there's certain drones only have a certain area. Some
certain
go
range.
Two, three, you know, the small ones go two to three, not even a mile.
Well, okay, so definition of drone is vast, because you have those Reaper drones that the military
right.
has.
Right.
Well, those are more or less like a pilotless airplane that is flying underneath the radar in most cases, but has a great potential for a lot of damage.
Right. It's not, can't hover.
It can't hover. But these drones are hovering. And so there's a vastly different situation going on there. And there's a lot of observation that these drones can do. Even if you have your own little drone, you can see the footage, and if it's got a good camera, you can see things pretty clearly with a drone camera.
Right.
I can only imagine what one of these bigger ones look like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and then we have the drone over the military base.
Yep.
That could only be seen by, what was it? FLIR?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was during the day. They could not see it by their eye, but it was shown on FLIR, which is shows heat and different
infrared
things.
Infrared kind of camera.
Yeah. So it showed it going across, and they called it the jellyfish, but it was a drone.
So is it actually a drone?
I thought it was a drone because I looked at it and it looked like it had mechanical arms. So maybe
It had characteristics of a drone because of the way it was flying, but the problem that a lot of people have with that being a drone is because they couldn't hear it.
Right.
And I think that was one of the things that made it outstanding, other than the fact that it was also changing its heat signature.
Right.
Why it was being observed by the FLIR.
Which, you just said that, and one of the things they said in the meeting when the Navy was following that one UAP over the ocean, and then they said it splashed in there. They said, it's come out now, that no, what it did, it changed its heat signature to the ocean. And so it can't be seen on the FLIR.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, if they can do that.
That's a hugely advanced drone at that point, because it has also gone to what they call transmedium.
Right.
Which is something they keep talking about. I've heard some other weird secular stuff that kind of goes back into what we were talking about, Tesla and the death ray, the scalar weapons.
Right.
Have you heard about this?
Yeah.
Very strange.
It is strange. Yeah. Mm. Again, we know that when we've done our little research and stuff, that there's a lot of his chests of information is gone.
Wasn't there like 37 of those things?
37. And or? Imagine that the FBI and the, wasn't the CIA at the time, but it was, they were right down the hall from him.
The OSI.
OSI, yeah.
And the guys over in Belgrade, or not Belgrade, but was it? It was in Czechoslovakia, right?
Yeah, Czech.
That they only had 9. It's like, right. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What are these other chests you speak of?
Yeah. And he actually had, they said that, this real quick, we're talking about Tesla. He had 2 other rooms that they were in. He didn't have just one room. He had 2 other rooms. And they said that he was poor and broke, which I'm going, if you have 3 rooms in the hotel at the time, which is a really plush hotel, no, you're getting money from someplace.
Oh, yeah. And even if you were discredited by J.P. Morgan, which he was, how did he keep affording that same place?
Black money.
Sure. Uh-huh.
By the government.
I'm sorry. It's a bait and switch, dude.
Okay.
That's going to be my big thing for the weekend. Bait and switch. Bait and switch.
So, you have anything else?
Nope. But we will try to keep you updated with UFO stuff from time to time.
Right. So, and yeah. And along with our other subjects. So, this is Paul.
This is Alan.
And it's time to say bye.
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 Ukulele music brought to you by Lahaina Music, Lahaina, Maui.